from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The fourth, the final, the best hour of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, and happy week zero of college football season, my dear friends and family, and happy final week of the NFL preseason. It's less happy final week of the preseason and more happy less than 2 weeks until the NFL regular season gets underway. Broadcasting live from the Bro Cave at the Casa de Love, I am Rob Brown, back in the palatial Fan Upstate Studios, the man that is in charge of this radio show and every radio show you love except for BetMGM Tonight. He is the great one, Lonzo, in charge of everything that is happening today. And of course, it's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. You know what that means. Joining us every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, except for the Wednesdays that he doesn't, he is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this station every single weeknight from 7 until 11 p.m. He is the former executive producer of the world's most chaotic radio show, Bet for the Cycle, which airs noon to 4 on the BetQL Network. And he is an NFL analyst for the BetQL Network. He is Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, joining us on the show. Rob Brown stuck at the house because his car is shredded in the driveway right now. Mario, having some flashbacks to the old days, bud? Having some flashbacks back to the glory days, are you?
I am. And I love the hat collection and the jersey collection in the back. Like, that always impresses me every single time. And I got to say this, too. Lonzo, are you getting lonely in the studio without him, or is it more of a relaxation? Because that can go one of two ways.
Well, it's quiet. That's all I'm going to say. It's very quiet. That's not a bad thing. Ooh. It's not a, I have to keep my headphones on during the commercials so I can save my ears for, you know, until retirement kind of thing.
Wow. As the, as Heath Ledger playing the Joker once said, if you're good at something, never do it for free. All right. I'm good at being loud. I've made a job. I've made a career out of it. Not a great one, but one nonetheless. Hatin' Ass Mario joining us here on the radio broadcast. Let's jump into it, man, because we've shorted ourselves the last couple of weeks, and let's not make that mistake today. Let's dive headfirst into the AFC North and the NFC North. A couple of teams that I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on, but we will mention and get your thoughts in passing. The AFC North. I think has an opportunity to be maybe the most interesting division in football this year. The Baltimore Ravens, led by reigning defending undisputed NFL MVP Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Joey Burrow, a.k.a. Joey M. Munem with the bleach blonde locks, coming back this year. Deshaun Watson expected for the first time to be fully healthy for the Browns to start week one. And then there's the Steelers. You got a little bit of a quarterback controversy there. A team that, on one hand, hasn't had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. On one hand, was a playoff team last year out of the AFC. On the other hand, a lot of people very down on Pittsburgh. Let's start with them. Can this team, under Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, or some combination of both, can they repeat as a playoff team this year?
I don't think so. If you have two QBs, you have none. And that's what they have right now. And if you watch, I don't put everything in the preseason, but there's little notes I think you should take from it. And look, it's the same Justin Fields that we saw last year, where he'll escape the pocket and he'll make maybe an unbelievable play, a throw. We're like, God, how did he do that? And then the next play, he has a clean pocket. Someone has a seam route right down the field and he overthrows them by like 15 yards. And you're like, all right, well, that was just the craziest low and craziest highs I've ever seen of any quarterback in the NFL. He's still doing that. Russell Wilson's very far from being in his prime. Like, dude, this Steelers schedule, by the way, is no freaking joke. I mean, Sharp Analytics has them as the hardest schedule in the NFL. And who's to say that, you know, George Pickens doesn't get a little pissed off and then he doesn't even play to the most of his abilities? Who's to say that when TJ Watt gets hurt, which he definitely will, that there's not a steep drop off for the Steelers? And this is a schedule where they can't afford a steep drop off, and they're in a division that I would argue is probably the best division in football. So I don't see them making it to playoffs. I see them having a very, very rough year. I see it get worse and worse for the Steelers. And honestly, I think this would have been a great year for like a complete rebuild if they really went for it. I don't think they'll ever go for it, because that's just not the Pittsburgh Steeler way, especially under Mike Tomlin. But if you could spell out the perfect year to kind of take a dip, get your QB kind of like reset, this could be the most perfect season for the Pittsburgh Steelers to do that.
We've talked about it. I've said a couple of times, I don't think that all of the issues in Denver last year were on Russell Wilson. I really don't. I think Sean Payton is viewed as an offensive innovator. My man, it's been 14 years since Sean Payton won a Super Bowl. All right. The game has changed. And he was out for a couple. I don't know that he keeps up. I think that Russell Wilson was an easy scapegoat for the Broncos last year, and they were willing to utilize that excuse. And on top of that, what you just mentioned, Justin Fields shows flashes of brilliance, but it's remarkably inconsistent. I think they're fine with Russell Wilson, but let's flip to the other three teams in this division. Let's go with the Cleveland Browns next. This is a team that has spent the last couple of years building up a pretty good defense. I hate to be cliche, but cliches are cliches and useful for a reason, Mario. I think the Cleveland Browns go as Deshaun Watson goes. If Deshaun Watson is the guy that they're paying $265, whatever it is, bazillion dollars guaranteed for, the guy that played down in Houston, Texas, the Browns will make this a three-horse race. If Deshaun Watson gets hurt again or he doesn't return to that form, it comes down to the Ravens and the Bengals for who wins this division, in my opinion.
I agree. They kind of lucked out last year in a couple of different ways, right? Like last year, it was backup season, right? So many QBs got hurt, and they kind of got the luck of the draw of Joe Flacco being one of the better backup QBs of them all. This year, I highly doubt that we'll see as many guys go down. And on top of that, I don't see luck really going their way. And remember their home versus away splits. Like, their home defense was the 1985 Bears. Their away defense was the North Carolina Tar Heels defense, who lets everybody score. And it's just bet the over every single time because they just have no idea how to play defense. So that worries me a lot, too. Are they going to be as consistent as they are at home as they are away? Like, is that going to come home this year, or is that going to still be a problem? Deshaun Watson, It's another year of another injury. It's another year getting older. Do we know mentally if he's still there? Keep in mind, too, how's this going to affect a team that it was pretty out in the open that Amari Cooper was on the chopping block and going to get sent away for Brandon Ayuk? That just didn't come to fruition. Amari Cooper didn't really handle it that well. I love Kevin Stefanski. I love every move that he makes. I think he's a very smart head football coach. I think it's going to be very tough for the Browns to pull it together this year. That being said, I actually trust them more this year than the Baltimore Ravens. I am going really, really low on the Ravens this year. I just think the Ravens lost a lot. I mean, they lost Mike McDonald, who's considered like a boy genius at defense. I've heard a lot of people call him the Sean McVay of defense. Then you lose an assistant GM to Joe Ortiz, who took a bunch of guys from there with him to L.A. You lose your DBs coaching, you lose three offensive line. And then if you look around your division, everyone kind of got stronger this offseason. What did like the Ravens do, really? And also, Mark Andrews going to get hurt. That's Lamar Jackson's number one target. Like, there's just steep drop-offs, I think, that are coming. I think this defense is going to show a little bit of regression, too, with Mike McDonald not being there and taking a lot of his staff with them. I think it's going to be kind of issues for Baltimore. I think Cleveland kind of can bump them off and be that second horse in the race with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Talk to me about your thoughts a little bit more in depth about the Ravens, because this is a team that I think wins this division again. And the addition of Derrick Henry, it's not just that Derrick Henry is a bulldozer that wears cleats, and he is. Like, Derrick Henry is one of the few guys I think we'll see this year that is the exception to the rule of running backs hit 30 years old and they're just done. The wheels come off. That man can still go. But it's not just Derrick Henry's ability to run. What I love is you stack the box, you tell your outside linebackers, don't let Lamar Jackson cross your face, which is what I think a lot of defenses do, right? Your outside backers are crash down backers and keep Derrick Henry from getting to the outside, or Lamar Jackson from getting to the outside. You do that and the Ravens pick up on it. Here comes King Henry through the spot where those linebackers vacate. You don't do that because you want to dial in on the big old bruising running back, and then Lamar gets across your face to the outside. Like, the offensive run game of this team is so damn dynamic with the addition of Derrick Henry. I think the Bengals will be able to go point for point with the Ravens against anybody. I just think the Ravens are going to be a dramatically better offense. Do you disagree? Is it the offensive side of the ball that worries you, or the defensive, or a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. I just think, like, Patrick Queen also leaving this past offseason hurt them a lot. Just the O-line, like, Derrick Henry is one of the best running backs we've ever seen. He's also coming up on 30 years old, and I'm just going to be like, beware on that. You know, like, I get it if people, like you said, like, I get it if you're on the other side of going, I don't think Derrick Henry's going to lose a step. Like, I completely get that. But I'm also a person that's banking on this year, like, regression from Derrick Henry and regression from CMC. Because there's just a lot of miles on those guys, a lot of damage that are done, and they're very physical, they're very hard runners. And we've seen the steep decline in the running backs throughout the years with that. So I see that as being a weakness. And like I said, like, the offensive line losing three guys, like, that's going to be a weakness for this Baltimore Ravens team. Like, that's going to be really hard to kind of recover from that. The defense is going to take a step back, like I said. And, you know, you kind of mentioned, like, the run game of how good that's going to be for the Ravens. I'll kind of back to you. Who is, like, arguably the best running back and the hardest to stop in the NFL but just didn't play last year because he got hurt? Nick Chubb's going to be back. We can't forget how much of a game changer Nick Chubb is. He's untackleable. Like, he's a brick wall that's running at you at freaking 40 miles per hour. Not really, but you get what I mean. So I look at that still and go, all right, I still give the edge to the Browns on that. The Bengals have, like, a clutch gene with Burrow that's just very hard to stop. And I think Bengals have a little bit, I'm going to say a little, of, like, a last dance mentality there where T. Higgins is probably gone. So this dream of a receiving core that Burrow's had, this is the last year of it, if we're being honest. And I think that little angle of it and the we lost a year of our window last year, and we're going to come in and be stronger and really kind of hit the ground running this year, I think it's going to come to fruition. So when you have that with the Ravens, it's just too many people are at the party and you're not going to get in. You know, we reached the limit. There's 50 people that are going to get in. We need 20 guys and, you know, more girls need to be in there. We need a 20 guy limit. I'm sorry, Ravens, you're going home.
I actually don't hate it. I was going to ask about Cincinnati, but I think you pretty much just kind of covered the bases on that one. And I agree with you entirely. I do think the Bengals are kind of staring down the gun of this is it. We don't get it done this year. This window is closed. I mean, I think you keep Joe Burrow around for another few years, but you are going to have to rebuild that core around him. Let's flip over to the NFC North. The team that I think falls out, and it's not even their fault. It has just been a traumatic offseason. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any Minnesota Viking fans in your family or friends group, reach out to them. Make sure they are okay, because they are probably not. Listen, I think Sam Darnold is going to show that while he has been the butt of many jokes for many years, he's actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for, and especially when he is working with one of the best wide receiver cores in all of football. But there's just been so much going on around this football team. To me, it feels like despite a decent run of success the last few years, the Vikings are the odd man out in this division.
They will be. And I think the weird thing about the Vikings is they're going to be like the best bad team in football. You know, because their defense is like Brian Flores got him to improve later on in the year. But their offense, if you really look at, like you mentioned, their receiving core is insane. Like Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, like that's a pretty insane receiving core. Oh, also, you know, they have, was it Dalvin Cook in the backfield? Like that's a pretty tough thing. And like, I don't think Sam Darnold, by the way, like I also hand up. I've had Ryan Horvath preaching in my ear for the past 3 months of how good Sam Darnold's going to be. Maybe I started drinking that juice. But Kevin O'Connell is very good offensive mind, given a lot of good weapons, with a quarterback that's kind of been through it all, where it can't get any worse for him, and he kind of has nothing to lose. He's going to lose his job anyways after this year. Like, he's done. You know what I mean? Like, this is 1 year to start. What if he goes out guns a-blazing? Like, I think they're going to be bad, but I think they're going to be a really hard team to beat every single time. And I think they're going to take wins away from Bears, Packers, and Lions. I think they're going to split with the Bears. I don't think the Bears sweep them. And don't be surprised when the Packers split with them either. Maybe Lions sweep them. I could see that happening. But I still think they could split with the Bears, split with the Packers, because they're going to be a tough team to beat. And they're just going to you're going to give you headaches. You're going to take Excedrin after playing them every single time as a fan. You're going to go, this is so exhausting. I know we're going to win, but boy, are they making it hard.
By the way, running back for the Minnesota Vikings this year, former Green Bay Packer Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, is going not to be Dalvin there. Cook. Yep.
All good. Dalvin Cook was there for a very long time. Talk to me about the Pack, because I got to tell you, it kind of blew my mind yesterday. Jordan Love has shorter odds to win the MVP than Lamar Jackson does. I think the Packers are going to be fine. But I think maybe we're getting a little carried away with the Jordan Love is the GOAT stuff right now, Mario.
So I grew up a Bears fan. I hate Green Bay Packers more than anything on this planet. I hate them more than absolutely anything in this world. You could send someone right now and slap me in the face and spit in my face, and I'll still go, I hate the Packers more than you. I hate
what if
them.
What if they showed up and put a tattoo square on your ass cheek?
I would still hate the Packers fan more.
Okay.
I can't stand them. Their jerseys are brutal. I hate the tradition. The cheese heads are dumb. It's all dumb. That being said, I do agree with you that there's a little bit of overreaction right now with the MVP stuff. I do get it, where I think Lamar, it's going to be extremely tough for Lamar to win another MVP because he's already won two, and voter fatigue is going to come that direction. But you know, Jordan Love gave us one half of a good season last year. And I think if you look at the offseason additions by both the Bears and the Lions, I'm not saying the Lions, you know, went and got every guy that they could, but they retained a lot of their coordinators. And when teams retain the coordinators or retain their essential staff, they tend to take the next step. Like that's Clemson. when they kind of went on the road with Dabo, right? Like, the thing that was so unique about them is their staff was retained. Like, those guys stayed, and that culture was just built and solid. You know, you see with the Chiefs right now, like, Andy Reid's staff, mostly they stay contained. Ben Johnson's back with the Detroit Lions, kind of like the last stand situation, if you will, there too. That's going to bring some heat. The Bears have arguably the best receiving core in football. They have Caleb Williams, who looks like he's everything and more. They have Montez Sweat, who's been a monster so far in camp. They have Jalen Johnson, who's, by the way, has slept on one of the best corners in football. They have DeAndre Swift right behind Caleb Williams. The O-line's actually pretty damn good. Darnell Wright, I think, is going to be come as one of the best tackles in football in about 2 years. There's so much there that the Bears have and that the Lions are returning. I think the Packers are going to take a step and get dinged by it.
All right, 30-second answer. Detroit Lions, genuine Super Bowl contender or not?
Yes, absolutely, because I think the Niners have to rely a lot on Purdy this year, and because I think CMC is just going to take a step back, and we'll see how great Purdy is, and I think Goff has some experience, and Campbell's ready to get the boys to bite some kneecaps.
We have, with Mario, over the past 3 weeks, talked NFC South. We have talked NFC West. We have talked NFC North. Same with the AFC. Next week, we talk NFC and AFC West. And then we got football on the docket. He is the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this station every single weeknight from 7 to 11. I'll be with BetMGM Tonight filling in next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Looking forward to it. Hayton asked Mario. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joins us here on the show. Appreciate you, big dog.
Of course, and I hate you, Green Bay.
We got that. We picked up on that. Just made it very clear. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Update.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show rolling through the final hour of the program. You want to be a part of the show, now's your opportunity. 71307, 71307. That is the number to give us a text on our text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. FAN, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. And you can tweet all of us here at the station at TheFanUpstate on X. If you want to come at us in that direction, you're welcome to do so as well. So there's all the different ways to get in touch with the show today. We'll tell you that the plan is to be back in studio next Monday. I do have a, for those of you that don't know why I'm broadcasting from the house, leaving a event last Friday, got caught in a torrential downpour. The parking lot that I was in was flooded. And in trying to escape said parking lot without driving through a bunch of deep water, I went a different direction, popped over a curb. It ripped the underguard of my car off and also popped a bunch of cables and wires that I don't know what they are, because unfortunately, I have the soft hands of a scholar and did not spend enough time learning about cars when I was growing up. So I do have an appointment tomorrow. Not that any of you care about this, but I'm telling you anyway. I do have an appointment tomorrow with a body shop that is hopefully going to be able to fix the rig for me, and it will hopefully be done by sometime next week. The best news for me is that this was a perfect excuse to get the motorcycle up and running. So whether I am in the truck or in or on the motorcycle next week, my plan is to be back in studio by Monday and get the show back to normal. In the meantime, I broadcast to you from the Casa de Love. Zoe, was there anything that Mario said there that threw you off? Was there anything that Mario said there that caught your attention? Says he's very down on the Ravens. Says that the, and what I agree with him, to be honest with you, the Jordan Love stuff is a little bit overrated. My dude did have a good back half of the season and went down to Dallas and beat the Cowboys in a playoff game. But I also maintain, so is everybody else that's played Dallas in a playoff game since 1996. So I don't really know how I feel about Jordan Love. Anything that he said that you want to react to?
No, here's the thing. Long-haired executive producers kind of think alike. So we had already expressed my concerns about Jordan Love yesterday and about, the sample size is very small and how Green Bay wants him to be the next guy after Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And we don't know that he's going to be. It looks pretty promising, but we'll see what he does this year. And as far as Baltimore, I've been saying that for a while. And I think another problem with, I think they're going to try to use Derrick Henry too much early on. And I think it's going to throw Lamar Jackson off because he's not used to having that guy. And I think he's going to feel like he needs to get him the ball a little bit more. And I think they're going to, if you get down in that division record-wise, you're going to have a hard time pulling out of it because of how good that all those teams are potentially.
Yeah, I actually think that's very, very interesting that you bring up, because I have mentioned a couple of times, I think Derrick Henry is very good for Lamar. Gus Edwards, who was there last year and had a real good season, which is why it to this day absolutely blows my mind that when that team got to the AFC title game against the Chiefs last year, John Harbaugh apparently just forgot that Gus Edwards was on the team. Like, he just forgot that the Gus bus had carried them to where they were. Got away from that, got away from the identity of what that team was down the stretch, and it ended up costing them in that game. So I gotta hope, and I'm kind of banking on my like of the Ravens, that they did learn that lesson, that they did figure that out, that will be something that they carry with them moving forward. That being said, I think that Derrick Henry is good for Lamar because of what I said to Mario, which is I think that Derrick Henry does for something does something for Lamar that Gus Edwards did not, and that is as a bowling ball back, right? As a dump truck with cleats on, he demands you keep an extra guy in the box, because if you don't, not only can Derrick Henry break through, but as we've seen in Tennessee a whole lot of times, if Derrick Henry gets to the open field, he's got deceptive speed.
I get all that, but why he was the face of that franchise and they let him go. And how do we know that it wasn't Vrabel who knew how to use him better than anybody else? I think he has lost a step. And is he still big? Absolutely. Will it still hurt if you try to tackle him? Yes. But I think he's lost something. I think we're going to find that out this year.
See, but I here's the thing. I think even if that's true, and let's say it is for the sake of the discussion, I think that's okay, because I don't need Derrick Henry home run hitter. It'd be nice if we have him. I need Derrick Henry power back. I need Derrick Henry fullback. I need Derrick Henry, the guy that if you take an extra man out of the box and Lamar catches it. Like if I'm John Harbaugh this year, I'm doing a lot of read options, right? Like Derrick Henry and Lamar, I want them working a 1-2 game of read options all the time. You throw an extra man at Derrick Henry, Lamar crosses your face, gets outside, takes off. You throw an extra man to the outside to prevent Lamar from crossing your face and getting wide, then I'm throwing Derrick Henry at you right up the gut. And I don't need a home run threat. I need a guy that can get me for a run. And Derrick Henry is that guy. I think that Derrick Henry does a wonderful, wonderful thing for this Lamar Jackson led offense. And because of that, I remain very high on this Ravens offense, because I think that they have a versatility to this offense that even though Gus Edwards was absolutely a power back, he was not a Derrick Henry power back. Now they have a Derrick Henry power back in, you know, Derrick Henry. And I think that opens up the field for Lamar. That's not to say I think Lamar Jackson is the type of cat that is going to go back to back for NFL MVP. I'm saying he can. I'm saying he's got the ability. I'm saying he's got the capability. And now they have added a tool and a weapon to this team that I think makes him even more capable of doing that. So I like this team a lot. That being said, the reason I think this could be, and this is what I said to Mario, the most interesting division in football is, I do not know what the Steelers are going to be, and I'm interested in finding out. I do not know how good Joey B is going to be on the return. If Joe Burrow is anywhere near what he was before he got banged up, you better believe the Bengals are going to be right there in the mix. And this may be, in fact, I'm willing to bet that it is. This might be, though, a two-horse race that comes down to the very last week of the NFL season. I could absolutely see it playing out that way. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, we will hit the final segment and we will wrap this bad boy up. Rob Brown, the great Lonzo, and you. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show wrapping up here on a Wednesday morning. Rob, Lonzo, and you, 71-307, 71-307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show throughout the course of the day. You can also tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, and you can tweet the great one, Lonzo, at Lonzo on Word. Tweet everybody at the station at The Fan Upstate if you want to go in that direction. I have, both because I am intrigued by it and I dramatically want to get Lonzo's reaction to it. We have a Tom Brady story, ladies and gentlemen. Rookie broadcaster Tom Brady as he gets set for his first season calling NFL football on Fox, was recently having a conversation with an ESPN personality who shan't be named on this show during the Fanatic Fan Fest that just took place in New York City. Brady was asked about rookie quarterbacks, of which there are plenty of them this year. You've got Jaden Daniels in Washington, Caleb Williams in Chicago, Bo Nix in Denver, Drake May in New England, Bryce Young in Carolina, a horde of rookie quarterbacks.
Bryce Young, not a rookie. I don't know why you're putting him on that list.
I mean, it's his real rookie season. Uh-huh. Last year was his fake rookie season. Mm-hmm. His exhibition rookie. Last year was his preseason rookie season. This year, rookie season. Anyway,
he knows people. He's doing it on purpose. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, he's aware that Bryce Young actually played last year. He knows that.
I am aware that Bryce Young was on a team last year. That is correct. It wasn't a real one, so I don't hold it against
he
him.
He protects just like I didn't Bryce Young like Lord. He's his small son.
He's my special little boy, and I will protect him, okay? All right, so Tom Brady, the GOAT, was speaking at Fanatics Fan Fest the other day and was quoted by SportingNews.com, which is apparently still in existence, quote, "I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is that we've dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play," end quote. Brady then went on to say, quote, "We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason in training camp trying to be a little bit better the next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level. So they're just going to teach them where they're at. There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. For 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development, right? And college teams used to be able to stockpile quarterbacks and develop them with no promise they'd ever play since the transfer rules were stacked against the players." Okay. So, a couple of things here. Number one, it is not that the game has been dumbed down. Zonzo, you're going to love this because I'm gonna criticize Tom Brady a little bit right here.
Yeah, this is weird. I was going to jump in, but you go right ahead.
I'm going to criticize Thomas Wayne Christopher Alfred Brady IV right here for you. So Tom Brady says, "It's a shame rookies have to play, and the only reason that they are able to is that the game has been dumbed down to allow them to." Well, Tommy boy, my guy, my goat, let me talk to you. Yeah. See, here's the problem. It's not that the game has been dumbed down, Tom. In fact, quite the opposite. I don't think the game has been dumbed down at all. What I think has happened here is that over the past handful of years, Tom, the NFL, in order to protect certain guys, none that I will mention by name, Tom, started to adjust itself to make it a game where quarterbacks are infinitely more valuable than anybody else on the football field. It became a situation where quarterbacks started to get special treatment on the field. And if there is a position that gets special treatment on the field, do you know what happens, Tom? They start to get special treatment off the field. And when they start to get special treatment off the field, everything changes. See, what's happened is it has become so damn important because of said special treatment of quarterbacks around the NFL that the common thought now, and it is common because it is correct, the common thought now is there is no way to build a championship caliber football team without having a good quarterback. Can't do it. It has not been since Brad damn Johnson that a team has been able to build a good championship caliber team without having a at least very good, preferably great quarterback. And what that does, Tom, is force these teams into a situation where they have to play a rookie quarterback. See, because we know, for instance, we know what Jacoby Brissett is for the New England Patriots, right? A solid, decorated, journeyman backup quarterback. We know that's what he is. We know Jacoby Brissett is not the guy that's stepping into a QB1 role and changing the game, changing a team. It's just not happening, Tom. And so what happens is the Patriots go get a guy like a Drake May, and they have to play him because they have two options. Number one, we go out there and we stink, and we know we stink, and we're going to continue to stink, and we can't get any better this year with Jacoby Brissett as QB1. So while I absolutely think a guy that I've been calling a project quarterback for months and months and months now in Drake May, I think Drake May would absolutely benefit, Tom, from sitting on the bench for a little while, from learning a little while, like you did, Tom. But because the NFL went so damn far out of its way to protect the Bradys and the Mannings and the Breezes of the career, it has changed the game to where you don't have a choice. You can't accomplish anything unless you have a good QB. You don't have a choice. And if that is the case, in order to develop my team, I have to throw my best quarterback out there. And if that's a rookie, that's a rookie. See, you're right, Tom. It would be beneficial for rookies to be able to sit and learn for 2 or 3 years before they are thrown feet first into the fire. But this has nothing to do with NIL or transfer portal or any of that. And it has everything to do with the league bending over backwards to protect you, Tom, to the point that it changed the NFL game to where quarterbacks are so invaluable that I have to play my rookie for anybody else to be able to get better. Lonzo, Tom Brady's right, and it's also his fault.
All I got to say about that is this is an old man talking about back in my day. You know who never has done that and would not do that? Greg Olson. That's all I'm saying. So if you want some of that, you want some of the old man talking about how things should be, you listen to whatever broadcast Tom Brady's on, and I will find an alternate broadcast for that game. All right, the first thing that's exiting today, speaking of being disgruntled, is Brian Flores.
All right, so Brian Flores is trending right now because 2 days ago, Tua Tagovailoa on the Dan Le Batard podcast said that Brian Flores is a bad person, said that he constantly beat up Tua Tagovailoa up to and including telling Tua Tagovailoa to his face, you're not good enough to be and do not deserve to be an NFL quarterback. Well, Tua told Dan Le Batard, kind of tough to grow and get better when your head coach is telling you every day, you don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. Well, Brian Flores sued the Miami Dolphins for discrimination, removing him from their coaching job. Now we have a story coming out that it wasn't that. It's that the Dolphins wanted Tua Tagovailoa to be their QB1 of the future, and Brian Flores didn't want that. Wanted to go a different direction. Wanted to play Tannehill and Fitzpatrick and all these other guys instead. Yesterday, Brian Flores responded, effectively not denying the claims of Tua Tagovailoa, but saying, look, I screwed up. I made some mistakes. I've grown. I'm a better person than that now. But for a dude for a while there had a lot of guys having his back. These comments from Tua, followed up by a lack of denial of their accuracy from Brian Flores, has kind of turned into a little As the World Turns NFL edition.
All right. I have heard Flores being apologetic to a degree, remorseful.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so there is that. So,
apologetic, just didn't deny it.
Right, right. Well, again, when you see that maybe you did things the wrong way, being apologetic is the first step towards not doing it anymore. Just saying. All right, the next thing that's Xing, and I even look it up because I don't know a lot about this, but I know you do. The next thing that's Xing is beer.
I don't know why beer is trending, but I'm glad that it is. Beer is good. It is every. Do you know that you can live, technically speaking? And I don't know if this is true. I just heard it on the internet and I elect to believe it because it's awesome. Did you know that Guinness beer has enough nutrition in it that you could theoretically live just only drinking Guinness beer? I'm not saying you should or that you in any way, shape, or form should think this is a good idea. I'm just saying you can. Here's the thing. Stop drinking cheap beer all the time. Good day. There are days for good cheap beer. You're outside day drinking, nice and hot. You just finished cutting the grass. Crack you a cold Busch Light. It's untouchable. But when you go out, you're having a nice dinner, man, find you a good couple of, maybe a craft ale, maybe a nice Pilsner, a little Irish red somewhere. Mwah. Beer, the cause and solution to many of life's problems.
Sound like such a yuppie there. That's weird. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry is, of course, Xing because we believe in Joe Hendry. All of us believe in Joe Hendry. I have not gotten a chance to watch NXT last night, but if he's trending, it has to be because they made the right decision and made Joe Hendry the champion of something.
He is not the champion yet, but he is the number one contender, and that's why he won the triple threat last night, which was very interesting, had some really good moves, and some run-ins. So you definitely need to watch it. And finally, the last thing that is Xing, yo, is Xbox Game Pass.
Xbox Game Pass. I did see yesterday that there's a whole bunch of new games that have been added to Game Pass. I don't know what they are. I didn't take a chance to scroll through them. Anything that's good that I'm missing out on?
Just a more day one drops that have been announced. So
okay.
Too many to mess with, but they're Gamescom's going on right now, including the Xbox thing is going on right as we speak. So
I like it. I like it. Well, I will be checking that out after the show, which is of course after the show technically starts right now, because that's it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show today. When we come back tomorrow, we will be 9 days. No, we won't. No, we won't. Yes, we will. 9 days away from college football. No, we will be 2 days away from college football week zero. Lonzo's got this week one crap stuck in my head. Like, that's what matters. No, no. Week zero matters, all right?
Hey, you can't blame it on me. I put the blame on you. You can't blame me. That's not how this works.
You're the one pushing that they're boring games and they don't matter, and is wrong about that. Week zero, 2 days away, when we rejoin you tomorrow for another rousing rendition of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.